always like to give a disclaimer that these shiurim are not exhaustive. I'm not going to cover everything that Rabbi Neuberger covered. If there's something that you want to discuss that I'm not going to mention, please feel free to bring it up with Peves HaKlal. I try and get this shiur in before Pesach because they're really two kavanas. One, it's nice to chazer the halachos because a lot of them have to... That's really the main reason, because a lot of the halachos have to do with Hilchos Pesach, and that is also a lot of the shaylos that Rabbanim get is before Pesach. That's the most common Hefsher Kelim shaylo. So let's get started. The pasuk says in Parshas Matos, Kol davar sheyavo be'esh taviru be'esh v'taher. Af v'mei nida yischata v'chol asher lo yavo be'esh taviru b'mayim. This is the pasuk that has to do with when they came back from Midian, they had kelim that were that required hefsher kelim. So then the Tam writes in the Sefer HaYosha that there's a mitzvah essay to be machshir the kelim based on this process. That's the Das Yochid, generally speaking. Or is that the Issev HaHeter disagrees and he says, how come we find by Tvilas kelim there's a bracha and by hefsher kelim there is no bracha? So he explains, because Tvilas Kelim, there's a mitzvah of Tvilas Kelim. Hechsher Kelim is not a mitzvah. It's just if one will use the kli while it's the isuro, that will asher your food. Or maybe it's a mitzvah, maybe it's an iser independently to use a kli that has blios of iser in it. We'll discuss that in a minute. But either way, it's to prevent an iser. It's not a positive commandment to do Hechsher Kelim. Therefore, if a person doesn't want to use his kelim that are blue and meyaser, let's say a person has chametz stick of kelim and it's on Pesach, no mitzvah to use those kelim. We go on and buy a different kelim. So then there's no mitzvah to do hefsher kelim because he could just put away the kelim before Pesach.
Is that by tvilas kelim also?
Tvilas kelim, right? Okay, you don't want to use the kli. There's no mitzvah, but there is a when you do tvilas kelim, you are makayim mitzvah of tvilas kelim. Right. You don't have to go out of your way to stock up on kelim to do the mitzvah of tefillas kelim, but if you want to use it, this is the tefillas kelim. One does not have to buy new kelim for Pesach. One could be machshir their kelim for Pesach. However, the Gemara does say that one of the Amoraim used to buy new knives for Pesach. Some thought that you see from there that there's a mitzvah min hamufkar to somehow buy new kelim for Pesach rather than be machshir old kelim. And this is in fact quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is caught in your test. He's discussing knives and he says that if a person could buy new ones, it's better to buy new ones. So the poskim generally assume that this is specifically by knives, because knives are hard to kasher because they have little crevices in between the ridges or wherever, just by the basic structure of a knife. So therefore there's a mitzvah min hamukhar to buy new ones because they're hard to kasher. But any other kli, there would be no mitzvah min hamukhar to buy new kelim necessarily before Pesach. So again, one doesn't have to be machshir the kelim. You don't have to buy new kelim for Pesach. One doesn't have to be machshir the kelim for Pesach if he's not planning on using them. So what does he do with them on Pesach? So it says in the first sif here in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Nun Aleph that he should put them away in a special closet. Matzniyim b'Pesach b'makom tzanua she'eino ragu le'lechem. It shouldn't be in a closet that you use. It should be in a closet that's set aside for the chametz stick of kelim. You should lock the closet and put away the key. What's the point of that? It's not a... I have to do that. That's what Shulchan Aruch recommends. Why? Because then when I come to, let's say, I need a frying pan, or someone who didn't clean for Pesach is in my house and they want a frying pan, so they won't go to the closet and take out the chametz stick of frying pan. They'll go to the closet to see. They see a frying pan, it's locked. So they'll say, oh, why is it locked? Must be that's the chametz stick of kelim. You don't necessarily need a lock and key. Rabbi Olbaum points out in his Haggadah, the Minchas Chayin, at the beginning he has a section of the book that has to do with Hefsher Kelim for Pesach. So he says there, and I think this is the Minchas Olbaum, is that you don't need a lock and key. Anything that will make a person pause for a second and ask, why is that ribbon, you know, tied around the two sides of the closet that I can't open it, or why is there a piece of duct tape, you know, across both sides of the closet? So you remember that this is the kelim for Pesach, and you want to use those kelim. Lav dafka lock and key. Of course, I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this. One does not have to sell his kelim that are chametz de kekelim for Pesach. Why not? So the Mishnah Berura, Sivkat and Hay, quotes in the Magen Avraham, that there is no Bal Yiroh, Bal Yimotzeh on Blios and Kelim. Because there's no Be'en, there's no Mamashos, it's just a Bliyah. I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this here. Nonetheless, the Tshuvas Chas Sofer quotes from Nassan Adler, his Rebbe, that he was no way to sell the Be'en had the Chametz had Dovuk B'Kelim. Sometimes the Kli is hard to clean, so you're afraid that there's Chametz Be'en, he would sell the Chametz HaDovuk B'Kelim, not the Chametz HaBalua B'Socha Kelim. That he didn't sell. The Pitzchei Tshuva says in Hilchos Tvilos Kelim, it's not here, in Siman Kuf Chaf, that if a person does sell his Kelim on Pesach, they would require Tvila, because he sold it to an Achri, and then when he buys it back, it would require Tvilos Kelim. So a person is so machmir to sell their Kelim on Pesach, he has to worry about the halachos of Tvilos Kelim. So there's no mitzvah to be machshir the Kli unless you want to use it. But let's say I would use a Kli before there's Hechshir Kelim. So I'm over some sort of iser. The Michael Nesar, maybe the food would be us or not. So this seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara Mesachim, Mem Daal Mem Beis. The Gemara there has a machlokas about the concept of Tam Ki Iker. This Kli is presumably clean. The clay Midian that they brought back with them from Midian were clean. But there were Blios inside. There was Tam, Balua, inside of the Kli. The Gemara has a rule that Tam is Ki Iker. So machlokas in the Gemara, is that a Doraisa principle or a Dorabanan principle? So the one that holds the Doraisa brings a raya from Klei Midyon. Why else do I have to be machshir the Klei Midyon if not for the principle of Tam Ki Iker? There's no Ben here. So don't you see, Tam Ki Iker is Doraisa. And if I were cooking the pot, it would be Yasser because of Tam Ki Iker. The other opinion in the Gemara is Doche, that no, Tam Ki Iker is Lav Doraisa, and this is a special Chiddush HaTorah. They have to be Klei, that's Balu and Isser. Even though Tom is lav ki iker midaraisa, nonetheless you have to be machshir the kli. I can't use a kli that has belios of iser in it, even though it won't answer the michael, because Tom is lav ki iker midaraisa. That's only a principle midarabanan. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to use a kli that's balua with iser. And this halacha of hefshir kelim is a chiddush, not based on Tom ki iker. So how do we pass on that machlokas? That's machlokas Rashi and Tosus. Rashi holds that Tom ki iker is lav daraisa. And the halakha of Hefshir Kelim is a Chiddush. And Tosas Paskins, Tam Ki Iker is Doraisa, and Hefshir Kelim is because of Tam Ki Iker. Based on Rashi's opinion, the Kreisi Uplesi, Yardaya suggests, quotes from the Chiddush Rashba, that could be that since if it's only a Chiddush that the Torah was Machadish, you have to be Mahshir Kelim, that Abliyot, Blua, Miyisr. Even though Tom Kikas on the rice won't ask for the food being out to cook in such a pot. So perhaps it's only if it's Balua from nothing. The Pasuk in the Torah is talking about where a non-Jew cooked Macholos Asuros in the pot. Let's say a Jew trafed up his frying pan it's a Fleshka frying pan, and he cooked, he made a cheese omelette or something in the frying pan. So now it's trafed. So now, is that halacha of Hefshik, let's say, I would hold Tam Ki Iker Lav Doraisa, would there still be halacha of Hefshir Kelim or not? So according to Rashi, yes, that's the halacha. That's the Chiddush HaTorah, that you have to kasher a pot. Even though you can't answer the food, you have to kasher the pot. So the Chiddush HaRashbah suggests perhaps it's only if an Achri cooked in the pot. If a Jew cooked in the pot, it wouldn't be so, because it's a Chiddush, and perhaps it's only if an Achri did it. Yeah?
Would that apply even to Basa B'Chalav? Which, if you don't hold a Tam Ki Iker, then what was in the pot before of the...
There's no bit.
Is it only by Nevela, or is it also by Pasa B'chal, which individually are mutter? Would it become us, or when it goes into the pot?
There's no ban. So
right.
It's all based on Tam Ki Iker.
So wait, what?
It's based on Tam Ki Iker. So if you hold Tam Ki Iker, it's live there, right? So right. So it wouldn't be by Pasa B'chal.
No, it wouldn't be then. Because there is no... What are you doing there? You're not making Pasa B'chal.
Ah, so there's no Pasa B'chal to begin with.
Yeah, so maybe it's one Nevela's.
Interesting. Okay, very good. Right, you mean so if a Jew cooked with the Nevela in the pot?
Yes.
Right, very good. Yeah.
According to the place, how do you understand Atabinyomo, Inobinyomo, Atabinyomo? Because then there shouldn't be.
Right, so the Gemara asks, The Gemara asks on this opinion, so it is. If the halacha is based on tam ki ikar, so the Gemara says, so when were they being mashed with these kelim? Must be that it's only a kedera that's bas yoma. Because if it's eno ben yomo, so the Gemara has a principle that a kedera that's eno ben yomo, the blios is in it, is no saint tam of gam. Doesn't give off a positive taste. And if it's no saint tam of gam, there's no halacha of tam ki ikar. The halacha of tam ki ikar is only if it's no saint tam of So then the Gemara says, so according to the Mandiyama, that Hefshra Kalim is based on Tam Ki Iker, the whole parsha in the Torah is only talking about if it's a Kedera Bas Yoma. However, if it's a Chiddush, so the Gemara suggests it could even be that it's not a Kedera Ben Yoma, it could be a Kedera Shalav Eino Ben Yoma, because it's not based on Tam Ki Iker at all. It's based on the Chiddush, so even if it's Eino Ben Yoma, it would be a problem. That's in terms of answering the food. Is it because of Tam Kik, or is it special fish? You're not allowed to use a kli that has a bli of Isser in it. But let's say I would use a bitsonin. Using bitsonin, nothing's going to become Asa because there's no ban there, because you don't Tam Kik, or it's only if there's heat. There's chamin. Nonetheless, the Ramah says in Hilchos Pesach, in Sif Aleph, that a kli that requires Liban or Agala is also to use even bitsonin. However, the Ramah and Hilton Yerodea and Simon Kufchav Aleph says that that's only Bekeva. But Rai is Mutter to use Bitzonin. The Rosh HaShulchan says, why doesn't he say that here in Hilchos Pesach? Because in Hilchos Pesach we're Machmer even by Rai. So you can't use a Klishal Chometz even by Rai, even if it's only Bitzonin. What's the chashash here? So it could be that this is part of the iser of using kelim shel iser. Using the iser of using kelim shel iser is even if it's bitzonin. Could be that, or could be we're afraid that you're going to come to have a bliya b'chamin, even though you're only using a bitzonin now. Maybe I'll come to now to use a b'chamin. Maybe it's because of that also. Could be one of those two reasons. Again, but this is only if the kli is a ben yomo. If the kli is eno bas yomo, so one is not allowed to use the kli l'chachiyo, you're supposed to be mashed with the kli. You want anything? You're supposed to be mashed with the kli. Huh? If it's ben yomo, it's tam kikar to ask for the food. If it's eno ben yomo, l'chachiyo should be mashed with the kli. But it won't ask for the food, because the Gemara says that eno ben yomo is no saint tam l'fgam. If it's no saint tam of gam, why can't I use it? So the Gemara says, because gzeira eno ben yomo, ata ben yomo. Why doesn't it ask for the food? So the Gemara says, no saint tam of gam. What does no saint tam of gam mean? Meaning it gives off a bad taste. So the machlokas is to be shown about, but machlokas, what are the mechanics of no saint tam of gam? The Ra'oz opinion is that a tam that's balua in the kli, after it waits 24 hours, will now won't taste like food. It'll give off a bad, like a terrible taste. So he says it's nifso me'achilas adam. The Rahot, that's the heter in general of no saint tam of gam, because it's nifso me'achilas adam. And the pasuk says nevela. The Gemara learns out nevela she'en ruli lager in a kruy in nevela. It's something that people wouldn't eat, and that's not called machalas asurus. So the bli and the kli is not food anymore. Ain't ruli lager. The Rashba holds that the heter of no saint tam of gam is because we only say tam ki ikar when it's a no saint tam of shvach, it gives off a positive taste. Here it gives off a negative taste. It's not so negative that it's nifso me'achilas adam, it just doesn't help the food taste any better. So since it's not helping the food taste any better, you don't say tam ki ikar. So what happens? So the bliya comes out into the pot and it's batel berov. The old halacha, batel berov, would start to function again. The reason we don't normally say bittul berov by machlokes asuros is because of tam ki ikar. The tam is like the food itself, and in order to be mevatel a tam, you need shishin. But that's only if it's no same time of Shvach. If it's no same time of Gam, we don't say Tam Ki Iker, and you don't need Shishim, and it's Bitul Barov. So no same time of Gam for the Rashba is based on Bitul Barov. And for the Ra'ah is based on Nifso Mechios Adam.
So what does the Rashba do with the Isra of Inabash?
So how come every time I use it, the Rishonim deal with that problem? It's a good question. Hechsher Kalim too, we'll talk about it. It's a valid question. Why is it important to understand the mechanics? Gemara says, Kedev Shein Abbas Yoma doesn't ask because no same time of Gam. And it's also to use it, L'chachiva, because there ain't a Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. So the Nafkamina is, though, for Hilchas Pesach. Because Halacha is, by Chametz, the Chametz Kodem HaPesach is Batel. Like everything else. But B'Pesach, only on Pesach, Chametz is B'Mashahu, it's not Batel. So if no same time of Gam is based on Bittul, like the Rashba says, so no same time of Gam would not help you on Pesach itself. So how do we paskin there? That's the machlok between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. It's not here in Tuf Nun Aleph, it's in Tuf Mem Zayin. A lot of halachos are based on this principle, but it happens to not be in the Siman that we're learning. It's in Siman Tuf Mem Zayin, I think Sif Yud. The machlok is Sif, yeah. Sif Yud, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch holds no same time of Gam is Mutar on Pesach, like the whole rest of the year, because it's based on Nifso Me'achiyos Adam. And the Ramah holds no same time of Gam is Mutar on Pesach, because it's based on Bittul. So that would be the case as well. If a person wants to cook with a... If a person cooks by accident with a Kli She'eino Ben Yomo from Chametz on Pesach, so the Ramah would say that the food is also. Why is the food that you cooked in the pot also? It's Kli She'eino Ben Yomo, no same time of Gam, because no same time of Gam is based on Bittul, and the Chametz that was Balu and the Kli is not Bittul on Pesach itself. And the Shulchan Aruch would say that it's okay. This issue of using a Kli She'eino Ben Yomo has its limitations. The Tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, which is called in the Pesachei Tshuva, Simen Kuf Chaf Bei, Siv Gimel, Siv Katan Gimel, that's only if it's Eino Ben Yomo. It's waited 24 hours. What if you waited 12 months? So there's a halacha by Yayin Nesach that if you wait 12 months, the bliya becomes totally gone. It dissipates. What do you mean Yayin Nesach? Because they used to keep the Yayin Nesach in a barrel. So if it sits there for 24 hours, they say Kavish Kamavushal. And it's like the Yayin Nesach had blios in the barrel. So, but let's say I haven't used this barrel for Yayin Nesach in 12 months. So then we say the bliya is gone. That's halacha by Yayin Nesach. So the Chacham Tzvi says he thinks that halacha applies to other machalos asuras too. If it had a bliya and now it's of machalos asuras and now nobody used it for machalos asuras in 12 months, so the bliya is gone, it dissipated entirely. There in the Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes there were those who disagreed that that's different. Over there was balua with kavush. Here we're even talking about I cooked in the pot. So even when I cook in the pot with chamin, I also say that it dissipates to such an extent that it's gone after 12 months? Maybe not. Maybe when I cook with chamin, it stays there indefinitely. That's the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, which is sometimes quoted as a Tzav Lahaka. Ramosha quotes this in two places as a Tzav Lahaka. These two tshuvas often get confused. Let me just finish this, I'll get back there. These two tshuvas often get confused. He has one tshuva to the Baal tshuva. He has one tshuva to Baal tshuva, who had a hard time giving up their china dishes when they came to do tshuva. They were worried about one of the meniyah in allowing them to do tshuva was they were worried about their dishes. Yeah. So Rav Moshe was meiko the china dish you can't do hagala because hei the Torah could perish any ultimate dafu yolam. So they were worried, what could they do for their china kelim? So Rav Moshe said if they wait 12 months. And they rely on the Bala Ita, which we'll talk about later, that you do Hagala three times, the Bala Ita holds that works even on Kli Cheres. If you do Hagala three times. We don't generally assume like the Ita, but that, together with the Chacham Tzvi, he was Mako on the plates.
Where did the Moshe Feinstein say this? In the Grit Moshe?
Yeah, it's in the Grit Moshe. So Renuger pointed out in the past that that's specifically for Bala Tshuva, that Heter. Moshe makes that clear, that Heter is only for Bala Tshuva, in general we wouldn't allow that Heter. But Rav Moshe has another tshuva to non-Bali tshuva, But they found they had milchaka china, and they wanted to sell it. It was expensive china. They wanted to sell the china because they need the money or whatever. And the only people they could find to buy the china wanted to use it for fleishiks. So if they can't be mashed with the kelim, they're going to lose the money on the china. So Moshe there is mitzarev three kulas. Now, there was just the two, the iter and the chacham tzvi. Here he has three kulas. One was the iter, one was the chacham tzvi, and then he throws in a ra'ah. The ra'ah's opinion is quoted by the Ritva in the Avodah Zarah, the Ritva Himsachim, that this whole iser, v'kliche enu ben yama, was only by isur bala. If it was macholos asurus, then there's the iser enu ben yama, ata ben yama. If it's hater bala, there were never goes there ain't no ben yomo or to ben yomo. So if I have milk and kelim, they were used for kosher food. So once I wait 24 hours, I can use it for fleishik food, because the milk food is no same time of gam, and it doesn't answer. That's the Ra'ah's opinion. And one set of dishes, you know, from one supper they milk the supper, wait 24 hours, the next supper they have fleishik supper, and it didn't bother him. So we don't generally pass them like the Ra'ah, but the Ramosha was mitzarev of those three kulas. So that's even for non-Bali Tshuva. But for Bali Tshuva, Ramosha was makel even though you didn't have the Ra'ah to rely upon, just the Chacham Tzvi and the Bali.
How long are you going to wait? Also 12 months and three times Shagalah, or
this time? Yeah, 12 months, three times, and it was, you have the Ra'ah that it was a terrible. So therefore, okay, so a person has kelim that have bleos of iser, he doesn't have to be mashed them. If he wants to use the kelim, then he would have to be mashed them. So let's say on Pesach, if he wants to use the kelim, now he has to come to be mashed them. In general, it's important to note, I don't think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it this year, that we would not allow a person to be mashed a kli from basa to cholov. From chametz to Pesach thick, we allow a person to do hashra kelim. From Chalav to Basar, from Basar to Chalav, the Magen Avraham quotes a minig that we don't allow Hefshe Kelim. That's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Where is the Mishnah Berurah? It's here somewhere in Tafnan Aleph, I forgot where. Why? Because we're afraid you'll get mixed up. Today it's Fleishiks, tomorrow it's Milchiks, then you'll start to forget. Unless you put stickers on everything, you'll forget, is it Milchiks, is it Fleishiks? So we don't let you do it at all. But the Chasam Sofer, also quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that if a person is being mashed kelim for Pesach, he could switch it agav from milchiks to fleishiks. Or if a tree becomes same token, why? Because that's not the minig. There was never a minig there. The minig was from fleishiks to milchiks. The minig is to allow hashra kelim for Pesach. So once I'm doing hashra kelim for Pesach, I can even switch it from milchiks to fleishiks and vice versa. Similarly, if a kli becomes trei. Let's say a person has a milk frying pan which they cooked fleishiks in. It's ben yomo. So the kli became trei. So after kasher the kli, so I could even now once I'm kashering the kli, switch it. Before it was fleishiks, now I want to make it. Before it was milchiks, now I want to make it fleishiks. Because once I'm kashering the kli for a legitimate reason, or for a reason where there was no minog, I could switch the gender of the kli. Ravadia says the Sfarim don't have this minig. He said we never heard of it. When they allow kelim to be go transgender, yeah.
This go back and forth, not just one crossover. It's not as if you go from milk to pleishiks.
Even one crossover.
What?
We don't allow you to be master from milk to pleishiks.
Well,
there was 12. So that's being so much that the bli is gone, or after a day, it's no longer milchiks. It's nothing. It's parav, huh?
So
that was Malcolm Hepsid he was making like that. Yeah, those who come up with Rabbi Neuberger discussed in the past different cases where perhaps there was no minig. Let's say a caterer, is there a minig for a caterer? He wants to switch kelim back and forth. Sometimes caterers milchik, sometimes caterers fleishiks. Perhaps there was no minig. He discussed other cases in the past. So you have to check, you know, if this is the run of the mill or not the run of the mill.
If you were lying for 12 months, wouldn't you not have a problem with? Might get confused because you haven't used the item 12 months anyway.
Ah, you have to do 12 months anyway. Okay. Oh, there was no minig if you're also waiting 12 months. Yeah.
I'm talking about the china. If somebody had the china for again 12 months, they want to use Pesach now.
Okay.
That'd be okay?
Oh, I want to use my china for Pesach.
It hasn't been used in 12 months. It was normally used for non-Pesach.
So what do I have? I have the Chacham Tzvi, the Baal Eter, and maybe Heter Bala. Maybe yes, maybe no. Comments might be Surah Bala. We'll talk about that. So I don't know. That's what Shafter likes to say, that this Ramosha said these three coolers. Every time you want to chip away at one, so you have to figure out if we're willing to go that far for the need that's there.
We pass
in Surah Bala.
Are generally more Armenian switching ovens and microwaves?
No, that's not a kui. We're talking about...
Is that a kui?
No, that's not what we're talking about.
It does use the entire
falafel. Well, sometimes it can be the entire falafel, but make her then we pass in Surah Bala. All of this started from the pasuk. So Rashi says, Ala Torah, I think, or maybe on the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, that this is the source for the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that says that if it was kli shetashmish oidei chamin, if the kli is used oidei chamin, meaning with hot water, that's called asher yavo ba'esh. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's asher lo yavo ba'esh. It wasn't roasted in the... fire, it was used with hot water, through boiling, through cooking, not through roasting, then that's tavir b'mayim. You're master that through hagala. And kol davar sheyavo ba'esh, if it was roasted, like on a skewer, spit or something like that, then tavir ba'esh. In order to achieve a hechsher kelim, you would require a libun. This is basically the principle of kabolo kachbolto. The same way it went in, if it went in through chamin, it goes out through chamin. If it went in through esh, it goes out through Eish. Let's say I have a kli that requires libun. I can't do libun. I can only do a hagala. Whatever, the kli will get ruined. This is machlokas we show, and let's say I have a kli that requires libun. I can only do a hagala. Can I at least use it for chamin? Now, can I at least use it with hot water? What would be a good case of that? Let's say I have a frying pan. According to those opinions, that a frying pan requires libun. So, but I can't do libun. It'll kill the Teflon. It won't burn off, and the pan will be useless. So I'll just do hagala, and I'll use it only for cooking with water. I'll use it only for deep frying. I won't use it for stuff that would require libun. So can I at least do that or not? So that's machlokas Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam holds yes, and most of the Rishonim disagreed with him. You can't even use it for chamin. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. And you're a day, a sifei, that if you require libun, you can't, and all you did was hagala, you can't even use it for chamin. Why not, though? Didn't I have a hechsher kelim that would have been good enough for chamin? So Rabbi Pesach Frank explains, I think, in the Har Tzvi, that you see from here that a bliya that's ayidei libun is not pshat that the bliya is just deeper. You know, it goes further into the kli. If that would be the case, then whatever came out ayidei the hagala is all that's going to come out when I use it ayidei chamin, because we don't go that deep when you only cook with hot water. So the same way it didn't go that deep with the hagala, it won't go that deep with the cooking. So he says, if that would be the pshat, Rabbeinu Tam should be right, but we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. We pass and you can't even use it for chamin. So what's the pshat? So the pshat is because it's not only deeper, it's more entrenched. So bli ayidei libun, even the surface part of it is more entrenched than a bli ayidei hagala. So if all I did was hagala, the bli is still there. More permanent than a bliya that's out of their chamin.
Was there a bit in Tom's point that whatever's going to come out is going to come out when I boil it? It's going to come out this time. If not, it won't come out the next time. Granted, maybe it's stronger, it's more.
Right, so that's wrong, because it went in I day leave him, so it'll keep coming out. Because it went in, it's more entrenched, it'll keep coming out.
Well, I think his point is that if
you
I
can't
just boil
eradicate it,
now,
it by with the hagol. Because you did a hagala and it came out. The next time it'll also come out.
Okay.
Not with water, it seems strange.
Like a kli cheres. Every time I cook in a kli cheres, something comes out. So why does hagala not work on a kli cheres? Because the next time something will also come out. Yeah.
Not only is it more entrenched, but that it will still come out if you're using hagala.
Right.
It's not that it's
that's what I meant by more entrenched. Right.
Gradual.
There are some cases that it's unclear whether that's called Tashmish Ayidei Chamin or Tashmish Ayidei Ha'ur. The famous case that's the Machlokas HaPoskim is the Machbas, is the frying pan. Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach, Sif Yud Aleph says the frying pan is enough with Hagoah. Why? Because it's used with oil. So it's like Chamin. And the Ramah disagrees. Says even though me ikar adin, it's enough with Haggalah, we're machmir to require libun kal. Whenever it's a chumrah to do libun, the Ramah says we could rely on libun kal. So Ramah says here we're machmir to do the ikar adin, it's enough with Haggalah, but we're machmir to require libun kal, because there's some Yishonim that hold that in the frying pan you have to be afraid that the oil will all get used up and then it'll just be roasting on a pan over the fire. Huh? Leaving kal is heat. Hagala is boiling water. Leaving kal is more chomer than hagala. You can accomplish more with leaving kal than you can with hagala. It's bechlam asai mana. If you do leaving kal, you've accomplished hagala too, but it can accomplish more. So our most chosh is that perhaps the oil will get dried up and you'll have something that requires libun. So chumra, he throws in libun kal.
What's the difference between libun kal and chumra?
We're going to talk about that. Yes. Libun kal is at lower temperature. However, the Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out, and this is very nogeah halacha l'maisa. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkon Samachay points out that this is only by a pan where oil is used beravchos. You're frying. It says if you have baking tins which they rub down with oil, the sir ha'uga, that's a baking tin, which they rub down with oil, or the non-stick spray. So he says no, that's bato. That's totally bato. It's negligible. And then it would require libun meikar adin. It wouldn't be enough with libun kal at that point. It would require libun chomer. So how do I know when I'm just wiping down the pan with oil so it shouldn't stick, or when I have enough oil already that it should be the shiloh of the machvas, which is the machlokas shulchan aruch and Ramah, we hold the libun kal chumra. So Rabbi Felder in the Holy Yeshur, and I think Rabbi Neuber liked this pshat, he used to say it over also, is that if I am putting the oil there to give taste, so then I want the oil to be there, that's frying. If I put the oil or the non-stick spray there, the margarine, whatever you're using, so it shouldn't stick, so then that's like the sir ha'uga, and it requires libun meikar adin. But I'm not even sure how common that is anymore. Most pans now that people get have Teflon on top. You don't even have to spray with anything, it doesn't stick. So Rabbi Obam writes in the Minchas Chayin, and this is also in the Holy Yeshurin from Rabbi Felder, that those require Libu and Medina. Always. Because that's Mamish roasting. And then the Hagolas Kalim throws in, this is Rabbi Tzvi Kohn's Sefer, the Hagolas Kalim, and I think Rabbi Obam has the same thing, that you can't do Libun Chamer here. Because the Teflon will get ruined. Whenever the kli is going to get ruined, I day libun, we don't allow one to do libun because we're afraid you're not going to do libun properly out of concern for your kli. We'll get to that when we talk about kli cheres. So Teflon frying pan, which one wasn't really frying in, you were just using it so it shouldn't stick, you're pretty much stuck if it got trafed up. Or for Pesach, would also be a major issue. Yeah. Good. Okay. So then that's a real frying pan. No. Then that's a real frying pan. But if you use the Teflon, the Taurus Teflon, then you have a problem. Yeah, I think that's the purpose of that.
So go pass a road cash
Michel? Oh, no. We don't pass any go pass a road cash Michel.
I think that would be material this in another light thing. For Pesach.
Svarim or Mego in Rav Tashmish.
Even those for Pesach, this is what he says on Agalam.
Ashkenazim or Machmir. However, this is only in Hilchos Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Hilchos Machos, Asuris the Soser himself. He says there, here he says it's enough with Hagal, let's go back to the real Machmas, the frying pan. So in Hilchos Pesach, he's Mego. that it's enough with Hagoah. And the Ramah throws in as a Chumra, Libun Kal. However, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yordaya, the Shulchan Aruch says you require Libun Chomor. So the Shach asks the stira between Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuras. And he quotes from the Lavush that Chametz could be different, because even though we're generally machmir to treat Chametz like Isura Bola, there are many Rishonim who hold that it's a Tera Bola. And the rule by Hatera Bola is, which we'll talk about soon, I forgot where, but the rule by Hatera Bola is that even if it requires Libun, it's enough with Hagola. Even if it was Tashmish or Yidei Ha'ur, if it's Hatera Bola, Milchiks, Tefleishiks, you could kasher it with Hagola. So Chametz, we could be mitzarif the fact that this is only a chashash, we're afraid all the oil will get used up and it will burn onto the pan, and you'll have libun. You require libun. Oh, but you could, for that, you could be mitzarif the heter, the rishonim who hold that chametz is a terabah, and you could get away with just hagoah. But in Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuras, we're discussing Ma'achalos Asuras itself. You don't have the tzad of a terabah, then you require libun chomer. The Shach quotes. I'll get one second. The Shach quotes from the Ramami Panu, though a different answer. It's kind of an okimta pshat. He says that nachrim generally use, probably is using tray for oil. So since over there the first element, which is touching the frying pan, is treif, that's called tashmish v'alidei ha'or, even though it's a liquid. This is a major chiddush of the Ramami Panu, that what does tashmish v'alidei ha'or mean? That means that the first element, which is touching the pot, is iser. What is called tashmish v'alidei chamin if the first element that's touching the pot is water? Water is mutter. The second element, which is cooking in the pot, is that's aser. So then it's, you know, behind the water, so that's called tashmish v'alidei chamin. And then I can get away with hagava. But if the water itself would be treif, when you get off treif water, but if the shemen would be treif oil, so then I would require libun, because that's not called tashmish v'alidei chamin through the meaning of water, meaning where the water is mutter. Here this is tashmish v'alidei ha'or, because the first thing that's touching the pot is ma'achalos asuras. But in Hilchos Pesach, he says, you're probably using kosher shemen, and it's probably not chametz dika shemen. It's oil. So if that's the case, so the first thing that's touching the pot is not chametz, it's the second element. Oh, so that's why I can get away with hagoah. So Chazon Ish, the Shach quotes this. Hopefully you should read the Shach as you go through the Shulchan Aruch. I just wanted to explain to you what he means. The Chazon Ish and Rav HaAchronim reject this Ramami Talmud. But that's not what Yidei Chamin means. Yidei Chamin means if it's a liquid. And Yidei Ha'or means if there's no medium of liquid. So what's the distinction between Ma'achalos Asuras and Pesach? Like the Shach said, that by Pesach we're mitzarif a terabah.
So I just go back on the whole chametz.
Consider it a darashish material.
How would that
affect
the
machmir
libel?
We're not discussing darashish. I'm saying in terms of
you view
chametz darashish,
you can
see that it's stuck in the pots or the machmir. Okay, but let's get back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if it's Tashmish Ayidei Ha'or, it requires Libun. If it's Tashmish Ayidei Chamin, through the medium of water, or another liquid, then it requires Hagoah. We said that's based on, however, the way it was used, Kibolo Kach Poto, that will determine which type of Hechsher Kelim you require. But Kibolo Kach Poto goes even a little bit further than that. There are subcategories of Hechsher. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Tipei, that if it's Tashmish v'alidei Iroi, not with a Kli Rishon al Gabi Oesh, hope everybody knows what that means from Hilchos Bishul, it's v'alidei Iroi, you pour it from a Kli Rishon. So then, you could do Hechsher Kelim v'alidei Iroi by pouring. Kabal Kafoto even works on the subcategories. The Mishnah Berura in Sivkot and Lamed Vav quotes from the Tur. There's machlokas in the Tur about a kli rishon al gabi ha'esh. Do I also need hechsher kelim in the kli rishon al gabi ha'esh? Let's say I guess this pot is normally used on top of the fire, and it was used for chametz. Now I want to kasher this pot. So do I need to kasher it in a pot that has boiling water, which is still al gabi ha'esh? Or does the pot that I'm kashering it not have to be... it's a klivishon. I don't distinguish further and say it has to be a klivishon al gabi ha'esh. So the Torah says, no, if it was tashmisho and a klivishon al gabi ha'esh, then I need to kasher in tashmisho al gabi ha'esh. If it was shelo al gabi ha'esh, it's klivishon, but it was shelo al gabi, the tashmish with the machos asuris was shelo al gabi ha'esh, then I hechsher could also be shelo al gabi ha'esh. We split it even down that far. The Torah quotes another opinion that says no, the klivishon is all the same. Eroi is one category. Klivishon is another category. We don't distinguish further between klivishon al gabi ha'esh versus shelo al gabi ha'esh. Meaning that kibbol, we don't have to not pass it like that. But what that opinion is saying is that kibbol kach polto only works to determine which category of hechsher kelim you need. Klivishon, Eroi, Libun, but all the details don't have to be recreated. Once it's found its category based on its kibolo, we don't have to recreate any further details. And even though we don't pass it like that, that could be because the other opinion holds klivishon gabi ha'esh is a separate category from klivishon shelo gabi ha'esh. So machlok is what's a separate category, what's not a separate category. But everybody agrees that all kibol kachpoto does is put you in a category. So now you don't have to recreate all the details. Why am I making such a big deal about this? Because the Darkei Tshuva has a discussion about a bliya that went in at, let's say, 170 degrees. So can I get away with hechsher kelim at 170 degrees? Or do I always need 212? So one opinion of Darkei Tshuva is, kibol kachpoto tells you, hechsher kelim. You need Hagawa. Okay, when you're Adichama, I need Hagawa. Hagawa is 212. Yours went in at 170, we don't care about that. Another opinion holds that no, we take it even further. Kibbol kapoto goes even further and determines what temperature it went in at. When I'm 170, I can get away with the extra kalem at 170. That's two opinions in the Darkei Tshuva. For Moshe and Ritzi Pesach Frank and the Chazon Ish Hameko on this Shiloh. If you have a makom tzarech, people are meko that if it went in at 165 and if you heat it up to 212, it'll ruin the kli, so you can get away with a hechsher kelim at 165.
I mean, if we really held that way with halacha, isn't that we would be matir hagal kli teres, no? We'd be matir kli teres, no?
Why?
Because it never gets. The reason we don't is we're concerned it's going to get so hot it'll destroy it, right?
Right.
But you never cook it.
No, that's not why Hagodah. Hagodah doesn't work like Icharis, it'll never come out.
So I'm not
Libun
like
Icharis. Right. So Libun,
So the point is that if what you need is the. But Hagodah will never come out.
Right.
Right? But if you do. It certainly was never. Nothing was ever cooked in there at a colder, at a hotter temperature than it could take to. Than the Kli can take, no? So if you did a sort of libun call, it would be that. Why wouldn't that work?
Wait till we get up to quick turns.
Okay.
Make your point there, Moose. Yeah. So that's also discussed by the post game. I mean, Neuberger generally discusses it. The pressure cooker, the sir halachatz, when they increase certain types of things, need to be cooked at higher temperatures than 212. So they have pressure cookers, which whenever there's greater pressure, someone correct me if I'm wrong, the boiling temperature is higher. Like if you go higher up in the atmosphere where there's less pressure, boiling temperature will be lower. So in Denver, you know, boiling temperature is lower than it would be in probably here. So the pressure cooker, they artificially create pressure, and the boiling temperature is much higher. So the Sefer HaGolos Kelim quotes from Shlomo Zalman that there were those who said you need Hechsher Kelim then at a higher temperature, went in at a higher temperature. And he says, no, it's enough for 212, categorically. So that's really conceptually contradicts what we just said. If you're going to be Mako, Meikar Adin, we really hold that if it went in a lower temperature, you get away with Hashkam at a lower temperature, then we should be Machmer the other way. But most Poskim are not Machmer the other way. Or let's say I did, I cooked it here, and then I moved to Denver, and I bring all my camp to Denver, and I want to do Hashkam in Denver, a mile high. So my boiling temperature is going to be lower. So do I have to bring the kelim back to New York to do extra kelim? So we generally assume no. Or if I did, I cooked with oil. Oil is a higher boiling temperature than water. So do I need Hekshar Kelim in oil? Which is even a shock if you can do that. But we say it's enough with water, so we generally assume it's enough with water. So Rosh Hashanah says, you see why? Why? Because Kabbalah Kapoto just tells you which category of Hekshar you need. If it's at 170 in Denver, so it's at 170 in Denver, you did a Hekshar Kelim, that's it. So the problem is, yeah, but that contradicts what we just said the other way. So, yeah. Don't know. Yeah.
You know, there's a temperature they say won't go up that high. I mean, like, again, the higher you go in the atmosphere, so, I mean, you can get spoiling temperatures to be 120.
Right.
So, is there a point to call that? Pretty boiling or not?
Again, if it's Tashmisha, back to the old principle, if it's Tashmisha de Chamen, it's Hechsher b'Chamen. Tashmisha de Ohr, Tashmisha requires Libun. Let's say most of the times it's used for Ayde Chamen. Once in a while I use it Ayde Ha'ur. So Rov Tashmisha is b'Chamen, one Mia Tashmisha is Ayde Ha'ur. So the Ran and the Rashba and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah were discussing the case that the Gemara discusses of kosos, of cups. So the Gemara says cups, you could get away with washing them out. Hadamah. So Rishonim may ask, yeah, but once in a while it'll come in contact with hot food. Shouldn't you require Hagolah? Because once in a while it'll come in contact with hot food. So the Ran and the Rashba say, no, we go Basar Rov Tashmish. If Rov Tashmish is for Chamin, then you can get away with Hashra Kelim for Chamin. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Pesach. That we go Basar Rov Tashmish. That's the Psak of the Sfarim. The Ramah quotes other Rishonim who disagreed and said, no, those kosos, they were careful that it didn't touch Chamin. If you know that it touched Chamin, you would require Hagala.
Only if you know.
Or if you're not sure, I think it says in Mishnah Berurah, even if you're not sure, you require Hagala. They're talking about something which is normally used for coal. Once in a while, I may be used for Chamin, so I think you require Hagala, but if you don't know, the Mishnah Berurah says, B'diyevet, it's okay. Mashma, if you do know, even with the evidence, no good. So the Achronim are bothered with what's the heter, what's going on here in the Shulchan Aruch. I know I use it Ayde Ha'ur. The Bliya is further entrenched. So just because I normally use it Ayde Chamin, so what? The Bliya is further entrenched. I know it's in there. How could I get away with just the Hagawa? So if you say Kabbalah Kach, if you say, like we said before, that Kabbalah Kach Poto determines which category you go into. So the Shulchan Aruch might hold that if it's Rov Tashmisha Ayde Chamin, it gets shoved into the category of Hagolah. Whether once in a while I use it for Liban or not, it's irrelevant. Same way it's irrelevant if it got boiled at a higher temperature. It gets thrown into one category, and we don't worry about the rest of the details. So too, if it's Rov Tashmish Ayde Chamin, it gets thrown into that category. I don't have to recreate the fact. I don't have to worry about the fact that one time it was used Ayde Ha'ur. That's my Lom description. However, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. The Mishnah Berurah in Sefkai Memvav is bothered with the same kasha, and he quotes from the classical Achronim that the Shulchan Aruch is only discussing a cliche Einu Ben Yomo. Einu Ben Yomo! So Einu Ben Yomo, the Ben Yomo was only if that's the Rov Tashmish of the Kui. So much, that's a good explanation. So much so that the other Achronim are bothered with why was the Rama Machmir. If it's an Einu Ben Yomo, maybe we should go bust the Rov. So the Taz says on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that no, we're bothered with the people might get confused. Here you make all Ayde Ha'ur is enough with Hagala. So maybe every other time it's Ayde Ha'ur, people will think it's enough with Hagala. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says though, B'diyevet would be okay, because really the Cheshvan of the Shulchan Aruch is good. However, in the Sharatzin, he quotes from the Prima Gadim that no, it's no good Me'ikar Adin. We disagree Me'ikar Adin. What disagrees Me'ikar Adin? So Sharatzin says it's even Asa B'diyevet, but it can't be Asa B'diyevet, because if it's a cliche in a Ben Yomo, cliche in a Ben Yomo is never Asa B'diyevet. So I don't know what the Nafkamina will be, but the Sharatzin leads you on as if there would be a Nafkamina. Either way, it's a cliche in a Ben Yomo, it's not Asa B'diyevet. Huh? Sharatzin. Oh, if it's in a binyomi, he says that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Chazanish points out this is a common mistake that people think. Well, let's say Rav Tashmish is Shaloi De Yisr. Rav Tashmish with kosher food. Once in a while, I used it with trefa food. So they say, well, Rav Tashmish is with kosher food. Me Tashmish with trefa food, I shouldn't require extra kelim at all. So Chazanish says, no, that's not what we're talking about. It means Rav of things that were above the cheshbon. Either it's hechsher keil, either it's hagol or chamin or libun, but it's both require hechsher. Then we shove you into one category. If it's kosher and I don't require any hechsher, and one is a iser, so then we don't go baser rov the kuyam. However, you see from the Shulchan Aruch, this is another important haraz. You see from the Shulchan Aruch, let's say rov tashmish or zaydei tzonin. Tzonin doesn't require any hechsher. But Mia Tashmish is Bechamin, Shulchan Aruch is willing to go bust a Rov. Even though for the Mia Tashmish, I don't require any Hechsher, for the Rov Tashmish, I don't require any Hechsher, just Hadacha. We still would go bust a Rov. So that mitigates what the Chazanish said.
These cups are for Pesach, or what are they?
For Pesach. Yeah. That's the standard case of agav.
That's what we do.
That's how I have a fork, I put it in a pot of boiling water, agav yayish. A few seconds, you leave it there, and then you pull it out.
Even another pot itself, that one is.
Yeah, that's the standard case. The yoshim in a college, if I have a pot that's so big it doesn't fit into anything else.
Okay.
Then I have to boil, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you boil it up so much and then it spills over, and then you're yoshim. What was the
Mi'utashmish
for?
Even if it's tzonin, why is that?
Even though it's Rav Tashmish is Bitson and Mia Tashmish is Bechamin. So is that the same as Rav Tashmish with kosher food and Mia Tashmish with Isser food? So I would have said yes. But you see from Shulchan Aruch that that's not true. Because Shulchan Aruch is willing to go bust a Rav there. Even though presumably the Chazanish is right that if I use something from Achos HaSuras once, we don't say, well, Rav times it's used for kosher food. Again, so Kabbalah Kachpoto tells me which category I fall into. So we were discussing how far do we break down the category. So the Poskim discuss in the Darkei Tshuva, what about steam? Is steam also a category? So it seems like most Poskim agree that if it only went in Ayidei steam, it could go out Ayidei steam. They have a machlokas, if it went in Ayidei chamin, it went in Ayidei hot water, can I use get away with just steam? That's a machlokas of Poskim. But we're generally machmer on that. But if it went in Ayidei steam, one could be mekel that it goes out Ayidei steam, and this is how one would be machsher a microwave. For the whole year, is that you put a cup of water that boils in the microwave, and you put in a few spots, you make sure you get the whole microwave. In a whole Yeshur, in the Sefer Ho Yeshur, he quotes from Rav Moshe, who's mekel on the microwave even for Pesach, as long as it's Eino Binyomo. And even though he says the Rav Moshe is generally machmir not to be machmir plastic for Pesach, he says here the walls of the microwave don't get hot. The walls of the microwave don't get hot. Yeah. If you leave it there for a short, if you're just heating food up, and like you heat food up in the microwave, you go home and try it, you touch the walls of the microwave walls are not hot. If you use it for a while, then the walls of the microwave get hot.
So
Rav Moshe said, since plastic is just a chumra, and here the walls of the microwave don't get hot anyway, it was makel to be machshir a microwave that's made of plastic, even for Pesach.
Shouldn't it not need to be kashrut at all?
Because it went in while we were in the cold. That's right. So that's it's a chumra. He's saying that we're machshir the microwave. Most of the times it's cold. Maybe once in a while it'll be hot. So you have rov tashmish. We're generally not relying on it. We don't rely on that. So Rav Neuberger has quoted this in the past that he thinks that there should be a distinction that if people heat up food for short periods of time and the walls of the oven of the microwave don't get hot, then you could kosher. If one uses it for extended periods of time to cook in the microwave, not just to heat food up, then the walls of the microwave would get hot and one would have a bigger problem. And since we're machmir not to the Neuberger's opinion was that we're machmir not to be machmir of plastic for Pesach, so one would have a problem with a plastic microwave and so on. And Pesach. Yeah. Right. Some are making like that, we're generally machmir. That if one will cook in the microwave, then the walls will be hot. I don't know, it depends if you know that you cooked it. It would depend on the, either way, if it's a kishen of ben yomos, so there's no shiloh. But if it's ben yomos, so then, and I know I cooked ben yomos from cooking, so maybe one could be mako like that. If you know the walls didn't get hot.
Within 24 hours, they don't get hot.
Within 24 hours, if I know they got hot, I would probably have a problem. Yeah, because there's microwave, there's steam in a microwave. Yeah.
So, the
lights
of the kosher microwave, you put steam in it?
You put a cup of water in three places or two places, whatever, so you get the place where you put the first cup. You know, you put a cup down, it doesn't kosher where you put it, so you have to move it once or twice. You can't put in a few balls because then underneath the balls you made your problem worse. Underneath the ball doesn't get captured by the steam because your ball is
sitting. Like three times
right? Yeah.
Does it have to, this micro have to fill up with steam?
It will fill up with steam.
Yeah.
When you said three different ways, you mean between the top and the three
right.
What if it's the turntable?
So that's glass.
Right. No, I don't mean capturing the turntable. That's a tough question. I mean, just. The cup, I mean, you know, red one, the cup's swirling.
No, because it's always moving on the same place on the turntable.
The same
spot
on the turntable.
Right. But I think you should take out the turntable. But anyway, we're not discussing this. This is beyond the advanced. Okay. Let's move on. It is important. I would like you to know this, though. Rabbi Neuberger thinks one cannot kosher plastic for Pesach. Rabbi Wilk was also of the opinion one cannot kosher plastic for Pesach, but Rav Shechter told me a few times that one could kosher plastic for Pesach, so he thought one could kosher plastic microwave for Pesach. Rav Moshe was makel because the walls didn't get hot, but really he held he couldn't kosher plastic for Pesach. I think it's machlokas bismanenu, between the post gates manenu. Can one kosher plastic microwave for Pesach? Would be.
Rav Moshe would say, even if you know that you can't.
Rav Moshe would say the walls don't get hot anyway, so he was tzaymech lekula. But I don't think if a person knows they cook hot food there, I think we're generally machmir. As Neuberger said, if you cook in the microwave, then I think most people do generally once in a while cook in the microwave. I don't know. Okay, depends. Even if it went in Ayidei Klisheni, so the Shulchan Aruch says in Sifhei, in Or HaChaim, that a Klisheni, you have to be machshir. The problem is, in your day, the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions about this. L'chachil, he's machmir, but the evidence is mekel. But here, he's so same l'chumra. So he sosur himself. Similarly, the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach and Sif Aleph says, Yesh machmirim b'klisheni. But in your day, the Ramah holds that klisheni is eino mavliya. Same way it's eino mavasho, it's eino bolea. It's eino mavliya. It doesn't put in a bliya. So why in Hilchos Pesach here is he machmir and there he's meikol? So the Shach, not in Kuf Chafal for Kuf Chafay, somewhere else, I think in Kuf Hay, so it says that there's a distinction between Machalos Asuras and Hilchos Pesach. This is a Chumra de Pesach. That were Machmir to Kasher, even a Klisheni. The rest of the year, though, we're not. The Shulchan Aruch says, Chachil, one should be Machmir, but the Yevid one could be Mekel. And in your day, he quotes two opinions, and he says, Chachil, you should be Machmir, but the Yevid you could be Mekel. And Hilchos Pesach, he just says, you have to Kasher a Klisheni. Right. Chumra de Pesach. Get used to that concept. The Ramon Tafmim Zion points out that that's only if it's Yatzel Lettisbo. If I have a Klisheni, which is Pachm Yatzel Lettisbo, obviously there's no Bliya. Important to her. Again, so kabal kach poto. Sometimes I require chamin if it was used by chamin, and sometimes you require tashmish if it was tashmish day, or you would require libun. What does libun mean? So there's prototypical libun is libun chamar, which the Gemara describes as nitzotzos nitzin. Sparks will fly out. Or you achatasir klipa ha'oyona. The person will take off the whole upper layer. Which I think Rabbi Tendler used to point out is really hanuach, that the nitzotzos that are flying off are the upper layer which is being removed. Anyway, if that interests you. So we, Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, and this is in the Holy Yeshurun if you want to look it up, that a blowtorch, what people generally think Liban Chamer means is a blowtorch, so a blowtorch is impractical because you would have to leave it there for, I think, 7 minutes on each 8-inch, each centimeter area. So it's not something which is generally possible. So what do we rely on the fact that, how do we accomplish Liban Chamer? Is one would have to put it in a self-cleaning oven that gets up, or raise the oven to such a high temperature, 700 degrees, 800 degrees, something like that. How do we know that that's the same as Liban Chamer? Liban Chamer was really that there was sparks flying out. How do we know that this type of self-cleaning oven is also just as good? So I think Rabbi Belsky explained in one of the OU documents that I went through that since it removes Be'en the same way Liban Chamer does, we have the right to assume that it's the same as Liban Chamer. In fact, it even cleans better than Liban Chamer. So self-cleaning oven would be considered Liban Chamer. That's only the Shulchan Aruch quotes that opinion, that Liban is Nitzotos Nitzin. In the Ramah and Sif Dalet, the Ramah quotes one opinion that Liban in general is only Achia Hakash Nisrav. Attach a piece of paper to the hot metal, let's say, and it burns the paper. So that's Liban. What we would generally call Liban Kal, the Ramah quotes one opinion that that's enough for Liban in general. But he says we're no way to be machmir on that, but whenever Liban is just a chumrah, we rely on that opinion that Liban is enough, achiyah hakash nisra. And the Ramah throws that in a few places here in Tefillin Aleph. If you collect them, you'll see the three or four where the Ramah says, where it's only a chumrah, you do Liban, he says it's enough with Liban kal. How much is Liban, a shear of Liban kal? So generally assumed, 400 degrees, 500 degrees. Is a Liban Kal. How long do you have to leave it on for? Say my oven gets up to 400 degrees. Once it gets up to 400 degrees, you can turn it off. So it says in the Sefer Hagolas Kelim, you have to leave it like that for an hour or two. Shasta told me from the Rav that the length that you normally cook at, that's how long you'd have to leave it there.
Where does the term Liban Kal come from?
Grandma uses it.
He's talking about cash?
Yeah. Right. I think that was somehow some reminiscent of Kabbalah Kapolta. Rav Shalta told me he thinks that the Rav thought that the longer you leave the oven on, the hotter it gets. So he said he doesn't think that that's true, which I know is not true. So so maybe that psak is irrelevant. But it's generally assumed you have to leave it for an hour or two. Whatever is Tashmin Shalei Dei Ha'or requires a Liban. Tashmin Shalei Dei Chamin requires Hagoah. However, we alluded to before that that's only if it's Isura Bala. If it's Hetera Bala, so it would always be sufficient with Hagoah. This is based on the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, where the Mishnah says that spit requires Liban because it gets roasted over the fire. So Gemara says, but that's how could we say there's a Mishnah in Tzvachim by Kachim that the spit is enough with Hagala. How do we say over here it's enough that you would require Liban? So Gemara says Kachem is different because it's Hetera Bola. When it went in, it was kosher food. And when it's Hetera Bola, since when it went in it was kosher food, one could always suffice with Hagala. Why? This is a very important to understand.
Something
was used ala esh, but it went in as Hetera Bala, like you roasted a carbon. But then later the carbon becomes Noser. But when it went in, it was Heter. So even though now it's Noser, I could kasher it through Hagoah. Oh no, I think it's my folks who showed him if I'm doing it before it becomes Noser. I think you have to do it before it becomes Noser. Or chametz, I kasher chametz the whole year, assuming that it would be a hetera boa. So on Pesach, even though it would have required libun, since Seter Bola, I could get away with kashering it before Pesach with Hagalah. Why? So Rishonim explained, because since when I kashered it, it was still heter. So the Hagalah weakens the tam. Even though it doesn't remove it entirely, it weakens the tam until it becomes a tam, what the Rishonim call tam kolosh, a weak tam. And a weak tam cannot accept the shame Isser. Cannot accept the label of Machalas Asuras once it's so in that weakened state. So it's a chametz. If chametz would be a terrible, if I kasher before Pesach, I can't now have an Isser chametz chal, you know, be endowed on this chametz because the taste is so weakened. Of course, this has its most relevance, not in kashrut, but by chametz. Is chametz Isser bo, is chametz a terrible? So we... How would one know? Well, what is the halacha of a shvud, a spit that one used with chametz the whole year? Now I want a kasher for Pesach. Does that require libun or hagala? So it says in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dawah that requires libun. Because we pask in the chametz is isur bala. If you read Shulchan Aruch carefully, which I hope that you do, for your own sake, in the beginning of Simon Tuf Nun Beis, you get very, very confused. The Shulchan Aruch makes all his cheshbonos when you're doing your Hagalah before the Shulchan Mishis and whatever, because then it's a terabola and it's not barnat etera, and it sounds like everything is a terabola. So the Bir Halacha pipes up and says, what happened? I thought the chametz was Isurabola. So he says, the Shulchan Aruch is Soser himself, and we paskin Isurabola. With the Yeved, maybe it could be Samech on the Rishonim who hold that it's a Heter Boa, but we're not getting into that now. We paskin, it is Isur Boa.
If you use
a
spit only for meat,
yeah. Not for, you don't put barbecue,
it's still,
that makes
it.
Uh-huh.
A spit on
yeah.
A barbecue.
Right.
You don't put
chametz on the spit. So it's Rov Tashmish. Yeah, but once in a while you'll put chametz there. People roast their rolls. I've seen people do that on a barbecue. Sure. But this also, this halakha of heterbo has another application. Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer. If I have a frying pan, which is used for milchiks, and it's ain't a binyam of milchiks, but I put fleishiks in. I got confused. And I put fleishiks in the pot. So it doesn't ask for the fleishiks be the oven. I could eat the food. Nonetheless, we're machmir to be machshir the pot. Because it was a milchik pot, it's ain't a binyam, and I put fleishiks in. So what is it now? Milchik, fleishiks, kind of both, but it's not possible. Chalav, both went in beheter. So even though normally we're machmir to kasher a frying pan on machvas with libun, here the Chasam Sofer says it's enough with hagoa, because this is called heteraboa. Because both went in when they were mutter. But you do have to be machshir such a pot. But if the kli was benyomo of milchiks, now I use fleishiks, or I'm frying beef with onions. It's davar charif, so then it becomes like a kli ben yomo. So now I have basar b'chalav, that's isura bala, and I would require libun. Anyway, so we basically have these two categories. We mentioned there are subdivisions within Hagalah, and there might be subdivisions within libun too, but we have basically two categories of hechsher. Hagalah and Libun. These two categories might or might not work, they clearly work in somewhat of a different way, but they might be totally different forms of Hashra, they might be related. What do I mean? I mean the following. It says in Shulchan Aruch in Simon, in Yoredeya, Kuf Chafal, Sif Vav, that if I, let's say, have a kli, which part of it, it's a metal kli, which part of it touches my Machalas Asuras while it's hot. So we say, Cham Mitzaso, Cham Kulo. That part that touched my Machalas Asuras asks the whole kli. Now I want to come and be Machshir that kli. Can I also say, Kibolo, Kachpoto, the same way went in by touching part, I could only have to be Machshir that part. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we do not say Kibolo, Kachpoto by Hechsher Kelim. Neither by Hagala nor by Libun. And And the Ramah says that we do. The same way we say Cham Iksos or Cham Kulo, but to Asr the Kli, we say we say Cham Iksos or Cham Kulo to be Machshir the Kli. So the Shach quotes though, Machlokes in the Ra'ah and the Rashba, what is the Ramah talking about? The Ra'ah says the Ramah is only talking about Hagola. By Hagola I say Kebolo Kachpoto, because Hagola is about removing the Bliyah. By Libun you do not say Kebolo Kachpoto, the same way when it comes out, because Libun is not about removing the Bliyah, Libun is about Sarif es Habliyah Bimkomo. I burn it where it is. So if I have, let's say I say Chaim Iksos Chaim Kulo, and part of the Kli became Aser, so the whole Kli is Balua with Iser. So can I just do Liban here? No, because all that does is burn the Bliya in that one little area. The rest of the Kli still has Bliyas in it. If when in Ide Chamin, so the same way the hot water, you know, distributed throughout the Bliya throughout the Kli, the hot water of the Hefsher will pull it out. But if when in Ide Ha'ur, so it got Nivla throughout the whole Kli, but Liban doesn't pull it out of the whole Kli, it's just surface of Bliya Bimkomo. However, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba equates Libun with Hagola. Libun also pulls out the Bliya. It's not Sarif es Habliya Bimkomo. He happens to not hold, whatever, it's irrelevant. He happens to not hold them, Chamek Sasa Cham Kul, by Hechshir, but that's for a different reason. But he really holds Libun and Hagola are both about pulling the Bliya out Bimkomo. There's a machlokes in the Rashba and the Ra'ah, how does Liban function? Liban clearly burns the Bliya. When Hechshir pulls out the Hagola, pulls out the Bliya, what happens to the Bliya then? It gets bottled in the Hagola water. Liban, it doesn't get bottled in the air of the heat. It gets burned up in the air of the heat of the air. But the Ra'ah holds Liban, doesn't pull it out at all. Liban burns it Bimkoma, and the Rashba holds Liban, pulls it out also, and it burns it in the air. It's not sorrowful so Bimkoma. But it's similar to Hagola in that it pulls out the Bliya. So the same way, right. What's the Nafkamina? One Nafkamina could be Hechshir Kelim. If I want to be Mashur Kli, there was only Nivla B'miksasa, can I do Hechshir Kelim B'miksasa? And another major Nafkamina is, do I say Kibolo Kachpoto by Liban? Let's say the Liban went in at 400 degrees. Right. Went in at 400 degrees. Can I get away with a Liban at 400 degrees? Or do I need Liban Chomer? Once I have a Tashmish Ali Dei Ha'or, do I say it automatically jumps to 700 degrees or not? So if it's all about Sarif es Habliya Bimkomo, we're Machmer that Liban, it means 700 degrees, Nitzotos Nitzin. So I would automatically jump to 700 degrees because Liban is not about pulling out the Bliya. So as you can say, the same way when it comes out, it's about burning the Bliya Bimkomo. That's only 700 degrees. But if Liban also pulls out the Bliya, then I would say Kibolo Kachpoto went in at 400 degrees, it come out at 400 degrees. And Halacha L'maaseh, this is Machlokas HaPoskim. It seems to be Machlokas Rishonim, it's Machlokas HaPoskim Metapaskim. Ramosha holds, by in his tshuva about the ovens, and the Prima Gadim also holds, that Liban is Sarif es Habliya Bimkomo. So you don't say Kibolo Kachpoto by an oven. You always require Liban Chomer. And other Rishonim and Achronim are Meiko on this Shaila. Dain Weiss, I think Rabbi Neuberger quoted Dain Weiss, he said, Kabol Kachpoto by Liban, and that's the way they quote from the Rav. The Kakasher an oven that went in at 400 degrees with 400 degrees. Because you say Kabol Kachpoto by Liban. But even though maybe we poskin, it's machlok, it's never a poskin, whether Liban pulls out the Bliya or doesn't pull out the Bliya, there are still major differences. Even if it pulls out the Bliya, it burns it in the air. Whereas opposed to Hagola that pulls out the Bliya and it's bottled in the Bliya water. So there are many differences because of that difference in how they function between Hagola versus Liban. The first important distinction between Hagola and Liban is whether or not the Kli has to be Eino Ben Yomo. Says in Shulchan Aruch and Tafnun Bey, Sif Aleph, that one is not allowed to do Hagola on a Kli that's Ben Yomo. Why? Because the Bliya will come out into the water and then go back into the Kli. If the Kli is Eino Ben Yomo, so then the Bliya goes out, no Saint Tam Lef Gam, it's bottle in the bliya water because they have no tam kikar, and it goes back in. It doesn't go back in. It's bottle in the bliya water, in the hagoa water.
Why is it a bottle?
So it says in the Gemara in Fuin on Tzadik Nayin that I require shishim connected the whole kli. When I have a bliya that goes, even if I use a small amount of meat that goes in that nivla into a kli, I require shishim connected the whole kli. If I would have shishim keneged the whole kli, I could even do hagoah. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I could even do hashra kelim on hagoah on a kli ben yomo. Let's say I have a small fork and a huge cholim pot. So then you could do on a ben yomo. But unless I would need shishim keneged the whole kli, which is a bigger feat to accomplish. But for libun, yeah.
Sorry, I remember from Simon that
we're going to talk about that. One second. So, but by libun, it would even work even if it's a kli that is ben yomo, because libun is not about being mavato the bliya. So I need tamki iker and all of this business. It's about that pulls out the either surface of libun komo or pulls out the bliya and it burns it in the air. So even if the kli is ben yomo, one could do libun. What's called ben yomo? What's called ener ben yomo? I don't think it really says here in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's important my folks to be aware of the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere. And Yoredeya says that ben yomo means 24 hours within using it of the macholos asuros. So let's say I cooked chametz. As long as I stop using the kli with chametz for 24 hours, it's already ener ben yomo, even though I continue to use it with hot water. Shulchan Aruch holds like that, maker din. Ramah is machmir. Ramon the Shach or machmir that it means with hot. I need 24 hours of abstention from hot. You can continue to use it with cold, but I can't use it with hot.
Isn't Mashi
Shikah Ben Yomo
Mitzvah?
Is Machok Shishon or Machmir?
Anybody use that as a way to
Shulchan Aruch is Mekel. Oh, I don't think so. No. Shulchan Aruch uses those two, these two tzadim. I didn't use it with chametz, and I had a linus lila, at least. Even though I continued to use it with hot, but as long as I had a linus lila from all hot, 12 hours, and I had I stopped using it with machalos asuros for 24 hours, he's meko. But you need both. That's the Shulchan Aruch. We're machmer. We don't. I don't think we consider that a tzad mahalka. The Sharetzion says in Siman Tov Nun Beis Sif Katan Gimel. Also, that because since Hagala is pulling out the Baliyah, you have to leave it there for a few seconds. You can't put it in and pull it out. It takes a few seconds for a Baliyah to happen. The Pesach Yeshuva says in Yerodea, from the Chamuri Daniel, let's say I have something, it's important, cool, to be aware of. I have a Machos Asur, drops on my counter, or drops on my pot, I pull it off right away. So Chamuri Daniel says, it doesn't Asur instantaneously. It takes a few seconds for the Baliyah to come out. So if I pull it off right away, so then it doesn't Asur. So similarly, in order for the bliya to come out, it has to sit in the hot water for a few seconds. So that, but that wouldn't apply to libun.
Do we know how long the time is
coming in? Huh?
How long do we
have to wait? I don't know. And also, this is a tremendous distinction, is that one can't do hefsha before Pesach. One can't do hagola on Pesach. Since hagola is based on the fact that the bliya comes out and it's both a bureau, on Pesach, you can't do a hechsher. You can't do hagolah with kli chametz because the chametz will come out. It won't be batal b'roh because chametz is b'mashu on Pesach. If you need to kasher a kli through hagolah, you have to do it before Pesach. Whereas libun, since it burns the bliya, either pulls it out and burns it, or burns it bimkomo, so you could do libun on Pesach. What if one has a kli that he needs to do, he only has a few hours before he has to use the kelim and the kelim are usher. So he can't wait around for it to be einu ben yomo. Does he have any recourse? So his first recourse could be to get a huge pot that a shishin can get whatever kli he's being machshir, but sometimes that's not always feasible. So another tzad, another eitzah is what the Shulchan Aruch mentions in Yerodeh and Siman Tzadikei is you could put a davar apogeim into the water. If I have ma'ashe, a kli that I want to be ma'ashe, so I'm going to put it, it's a ben yomo, so I put it in water that has a davar po game in the water. It makes the, everything taste terrible. This is what Shulchan Aruch says, you could make the kli mutter to use by putting it in the water with the davar po game. So there, the Shach and the Taz disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and they say, no, that doesn't work, because how do you know the davar po game went into all the places that the bliya is in? How do you know it's going to be pogame all the blios? Maybe it'll only be pogame part of the blios. So Chazon Ish says that they misunderstood what the Shulchan Aruch was saying. Shulchan Aruch wasn't saying that the Devar pogame goes in and attacks all the chameh, all the whatever, the machos asuris that's below in the pot. What happens is I have to put it in hot water only, in boiling water. So if I put the kli in boiling water and there's a Devar pogame in the water, so that when the blia comes out of the pot, even if it's ben yomo, it doesn't go back into the pot in the same way it came out, because now it's nifgam in the water. So when it goes back in, it's no sein tam ufgam. So and it won't go back in being no sein tam ufgam, it'll be batel in the robe of the water. Because since it's no sein tam ufgam, we don't say tam ki'ikr, and it becomes batel b'robe. Rav Shechter thought that that was the best heter for dishwashers. If one has a dishwasher which it uses with soap, all the cycles have soap. So when the blia first went in to the dishwasher, it would be a no sein tam ufgam. It wouldn't be a no sein tam ushvach, because the soap makes all the food taste bad. So once it's no sein tam ufgam, it doesn't even go into the pot. It doesn't even go into the dishwasher, because it's batel and there's some water that's in the dishwasher. So it would be batel in the water that's flying around in the dishwasher. Because I don't need shishim, all I would need is robe. Once there's no sein tam ufgam, we revert to the rules of bittul b'rov. So if one always uses a dishwasher, the rinse cycle and the main cycle with soap, so then the dishwasher is a much easier hurdle to... you wouldn't really have to kasher the dishwasher because it never got nivo with anything that was awesome.
Could you be able to kasher with soap also?
No, because... in theory, yes, but practically it's more difficult because you have whatever you have be'en stuck in the cracks and crevices. Whereas if I had soap meikaro, that be'en was batel b'rov, and then went into the cracks and the crevices. So that was already batel. Whereas if I have be'en in the cracks and the crevices, I can't now say I know I got to those things. So it's like the shach and tase. How do I know my soap reached those? I don't think soap makes it taste that bad.
I'm saying because it's old. It's days and days.
So we would have to say it has to be... Oh, you're saying we waited around until now it rotted.
Yeah.
No, but when it went in.
Yeah.
Now the soap makes it...
How do I know my soap got to that bend?
You don't know if it was full of water, the top comes out, whatever that is.
Well, the dishwasher we could tumble about for a long time. Anyway, again, we'll talk about that afterwards. Let's just get through the main material here. Another distinction between, or because of how Haggalah works, another ramification of how the mechanics of Haggalah is that one would have to be ma'asher the yora, the kli. Does one have to be ma'asher the kli that one is doing the hashra kelim in? You know, like in the Hasidic places, they have everyone before Pesach comes to the shul and they have one big hashra kelim pot. Everyone dumps their kelim in the hashra kelim pot. So does that pot have to be kosher for Pesach or not? So Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba that it does have to be kosher. Why? Because if that's treif, or that is chametz, the blia will go out of that pot and into the pot that I'm koshering. However, the Rosh's opinion is that the kli that you're being magil in, as long as it's Eino Ben Yomo, you don't have to kasher. Because if it's Eino Ben Yomo, it's Nosen Tam Lufgam. And even though Nosen Tam Lufgam are Machmer on Pesach, before Pesach, it will be Batel B'Rov. Eino Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. So this is where the Rosh says that it's only by Kli Seuda that it goes are Eino Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. If it's not Kli Seuda, this is a Kli that's used for Asher Kegel, and they weren't goes are Eino Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. This could help if Rabbi Neuberger alluded to this. Perhaps they weren't gozer by ovens. Eino ben yomo, ato ben yomo. Or perhaps they dishwashers weren't gozer. Eino ben yomo, ato ben yomo. Why not? Based on this rush. that the kli that being marcha kelim and they weren't gozer in a ben yom or to ben yom because it's not klei suuda. Well, it's a little bit streamlined. It's a little bit unclear. I don't understand that rush. Not everybody understands the rush. No, that's the Rashba says you have to kasher, but the Rashba is probably talking about a kli ben yomo. The Rosh is saying ain't a ben yomo, but when I go to ain't a ben yomo, it's a ben yomo. Nonetheless, in Hilchos Pesach, it says in the Shaar Tzion, Siman Tuf Nun Beis of Kohen Tezvav, that the minig is to kasher the yor that you're being machshir. That's the minig. Another important distinction between Hagalah and Libun would be removing all the Be'en. Hagalah only works if all we're dealing with is a Bliya. So a Bliya comes out and it's bottle in the water. If we have a Be'en here, so the Be'en, you don't say, Eino Ben Yomo. So unless I have Shishim Kenega the Be'en, whatever. So if there's a Be'en around, we generally don't assume that Hagalah can work. So this says in Shulchan Aruch in a few places, in Siman Tuf Nun Aleph, Siv Gimel, Siv Dalet, Siv Hey, all those cases are all referring to where you have a Be'en stuck in the cracks and crevices of a Kli. So since we're afraid that there's Be'en there, you can't use Hagalah. Rama discusses if I have a handle of a knife, and it might have a crack, you know, it might have the stuff get stuck in the handle of the knife and the knife itself, so the one would not be allowed to use Hagalah. This is based on, huh? Huh? You can use Liban Kal. One uses Liban Kal, that's okay. We'll get to 1 second. The Mishnah Berurah says this is based on the Pasuk, Ach, es ha-zahav. Only there's a hav. Then you have the rules. That's the beginning of that Pasuk that we quoted at the beginning. That's only Achas as a hub. All you have is metal. If I have Belia, if I have Be'en there, then Hagalah doesn't work. But the Ramah does say that if I use Libun Kal, so Libun Kal we assume burns out Be'en just like a regular Libun. So Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkan Chavdala that if a person is using Libun, then he doesn't have to clean the Kli before. By Hagalah, I have to make sure I have no Be'en. By Libun, I don't have to make sure I have no Be'en, because even if there is Be'en there, it'll get burned out. And this is only, getting back to Hagalah, this is only if I have Be'en Mamish. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkan Chavdala, if all I have is a stain. Sometimes Kli Kalim gets stained and the stain doesn't come out. That's not called Be'en. It has to be that there's real Be'en there. The most common case of this shayla is what the Shulchan Aruch discussed in Sif Yud Beis regarding handles. Shulchan Aruch says you have to be machshir the handles just like the kli itself. And there are two reasons quoted for this halacha. One reason, both in the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham's reason is because we say Cham Iksos or Cham Kulo. The same way that we went in and part of the kli, it asks the whole kli. And we're machmir that we're, the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't really allow heksher b'miktas ha-kli to be machshir the rest of the kli. However, if that's the case, then it should only be by metal kelim. But the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis that it's by all kelim. Kol ha-kelim. Sarf lahagel yidoseim kemosam. So it sounds like it's even not metal. So the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that that's because, so this halacha is not because of cham miktas or cham kula, it's because maybe I touched it with my dirty hands. Chabit Sasu Cham Kuo means that the Bliya spreads throughout the Kli. If I have a wood handle, yeah, it doesn't spread throughout. The Mishnah Berurah says that this is a chashash then. This is not a din. This is a chashash. We're afraid that your hands touched the handle while you had dirty hands. So the Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, b'diyevet, you know, one could be mekel. You don't have to, you know, your hands were clean. You don't have to be so machmir about this halacha. But where this is very relevant is the Mishnah Berurah says, it's of cutting chav gimel. If I have a knife with a metal handle, without a metal handle. If I have a knife that has a handle with a screw, there's two sides of the handle, and there's a screw holding the two sides with the blade in place. So the screw has cracks and crevices, So I can't use, since I also need to be ma'asher the handle, usually on the part of the utensil that you use, there's no screws. But on the handle, all the time there's screws. So then you can't use hagola on such a kli. You would have to use libun kal. Because we assume that there's be'en stuck in the cracks in the crevices. Huh? So the problem is that every knife, Rabbi Neuberger, I think, pointed out, every knife is made up of two parts. There's a stainless steel blade and the silver handle. So you can never do hagola on any knife then. Even if you have a fancy silver knife, you can't do hagola. So the Shaar HaTzion, though, points out that says in the Gemara you can do hagola on a knife. What type of knife were they talking about? It says presumably they were talking about a knife with a handle. So isn't there a crack in the crevice between the blade and the handle? So the Shaar HaTzion says the principle that if the knife is tough, handle is not two pieces with a screw, it's one solid piece, and the blade is another solid piece that's stuck in bechozek, tachut bechozek, then I don't have to worry about the crack in the cracks in the crevices. So that's true whenever it's tachut bechozek. You don't have a screw sticking out with the Phillips head, you know, in the cracks and crevices. It's two parts that are stuck together very tightly. We would assume that's called tachut bechozek, and you don't have to worry about the cracks and crevices. So maybe we would say that you, the same way Heksha works for Mixasakli. The same way it went in for Mixasakli, it would go out. No, but here we're talking about where you're doing Heksha for the whole Kli. I'm kashering the whole knife.
You're driving the whole thing in the.
Yeah, but do I have to say, but this is really two pieces? So I have to say, well, there's a crack in a crevice and I can't do Hagala. I need Libun Kal, my silver knife, which is going to melt. So we would say, no, since it's Tachan Bechazuk, you can do Hagala. Okay, a few ha'aris about the different types of materials. Hagola works on kliyeis, it works on kliyevin, it works on mateches, but it does not work on klicheres. Why not? Because klicheres any yos midei dofi liyolam. That's the pasuk by, they learned that from the pasuk by Kachin, that a klicheres yishover. You have to break the klicheres. Tosafot says in Kulbin, a very important question. If the bliya doesn't come out, what am I worried about? How's it going to acid my food if the bliya doesn't come out? Tosa says, no, it comes out bit by bit. It will never all come out together. But it will come out enough to acid the food that I'm cooking in the kli. So based on this yisod, the Yishalmi says regarding truma, which is midr abanon, that if you do hagola three times, enough of it came out that I don't have to worry about it anymore. Because every time, more and more is coming out. So after a while, it must all come out. So three times already, I don't have to worry that any more is going to come out. That says by Chuma Durabana. So the Baal HaItur extends that to every Yisum Durabana. That Hagala works three times. The paradigm is, the principle is developed by Chuma Durabana, Yishalmi. Baal HaItur extends that to every Yisum Durabana. So once I have a kli that's Eino Ben Yomo, even if it would be a kli cheres, the Baal HaItur says I could do Hagala three times and the kli would be mutter. And we mentioned that Baal HaItur is a sniff lahaka. We don't rely on that, but that's a sniff lahaka. The Gemara does say also in Masechet Zevachim that Libun Hachazaras HaKivshonos. The Gemara asks why did the Klicheres Yishaver put the Klicheres in the Kivshon where it was made, in the kiln. So the Gemara says, well, there were no kilns in Yerushalayim because it would make ugly smoke. But it sounds like Tosfos there points out. It sounds like Hachazaras HaKivshonos would work for Klicheres. So what's the pshat in that? I thought ain't a bliya ain't a yot midei dofi liyolam. So one opinion in Tosfos is that it makes it into a new kli, like a new thing now. Went into the kiln where it was made, it's like a new kli that popped out. And the bliyos are irrelevant. The other opinion in Tosfos is, and this is the accepted opinion, is that the bliyos do come out, libun burns the bliya. It doesn't take the bliya out. So if it burns the bliya, it could burn the bliya by a kli cheres too. So why don't we allow libun by klicheres? So it says in Shulchan Aruch because we're afraid that you're going to be concerned that it might break. So the Poskim said, well, let's say the oven has a lock on it. I put it in the oven, self-cleaning, and it locks. You can't open it while it's on the self-cleaning cycle. What are you afraid? I'm going to pull it. I'm going to say, oh, my china's melting. I'm going to pull it out. You're not. You can't pull it out. Once the cycle starts, you can't stop it. So based on that, this argument, Rabbi Tendler, and I think Rav Shechter also, thought it was an interesting tzad l'hakel that if a person has china that became nesar, through machalas asuras, perhaps you could put it in a self-cleaning oven. And if it survives the libun, since I can't open it in the middle, we don't say demachayas alei. And if it survives the libun, libun really works, maker adin, even by pre-feris. Glass is a discussion here in Hilchos Pesach and Sif Chav Vav. The Shulchan Aruch says that glass is so smooth it's not bolea at all, and the Ramah says that glass is bolea like cheres is bolea. This is all based on Stira and Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are here in Hilchos Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea says the same thing. The glass is not bolea. And there the Ramah is not masik. Doesn't disagree. So the Knesset Agdola and the Zera Emes, I think are quoted here on the page of the Orachayim, say that the Ramah was only Machmer in Hilchos Pesach. Chomer to Pesach. The Knesset Agdola and the Zera Emes say the Ramah was only Machmer in Hilchos Pesach. By Macholos Asuros, or Basta Techalov, the Ramah was not Machmer. And glass is like, is not Bolei at all. Many poskim assume like that. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Moshe and the Holy Yeshurin assume that glass is not bolea by Shari Surim. So a person who has glasses that he wants to use for milchiks and fleishiks, we would assume that it's not bolea. But by Pesach, we wouldn't be machmer. There are some poskim, you look in that Golos Kalim book, I think it's about 5 pages about this. Everybody, every which way. But I think many people are makel that by Machos Asuros or by Basa B'cholav, glass is not bolea. I think any glass. Oh, well, we'll discuss Pyrex, but glass is not used b'chamin. Yeah.
Also, what was the thing with the new china that has like a glass coating on it?
We discussed when we discussed Tfilos Kalim. That's a Tfilos Kalim china.
I was saying in terms of Basa B'cholav,
in terms of kosher. Right, we really treat it like china.
You still treat it like china?
Yeah.
It's coated?
Right. It's bottle, yeah. We'll discuss when we discuss Tfilos Kalim. We'll do it by Rishos. Rabbi Neuberger pointed out that Karel is all, that's all the same stuff. Even though Rav Moshe, if you look in the Holy Yeshurim, you get confused. Rav Moshe treats it like Cheres, because Rabbi Neuberger pointed out he didn't really, whatever. The Metzias doesn't seem to correspond to what our Metzias of Karel is, but that we would treat that like glass. But Pyrex, which is used for hot, very hot cooking, so Rav Avadia says for the Shulchan Aruch, for sure one can be makel, that's glass. Glass is not bolea. What about for the Ramah? So Rav Avadia says he thinks that this is better than glass. Not worse than glass. It's better than glass. Because he says the whole chum of the Ramah for glass was not, phrasing it the right way, was not to be choshed that glass is like cheres. He quotes him a ritva that glass should be treated like mateches, that you could kosher it, but glass is worse than matechas because I'm afraid it might break. So it's like cheres in that regard that I'm afraid it might break. So it's glass that I'm afraid it might break. So therefore, the Ramah says you can't do agala or leaven because I'm afraid the glass might break. But if I have pyrex, says Rav Avadia, now again, this is Rav Avadia saying badas the Ramah. It's always very questionable. But the Ramah was only machmer that the glass is treated like metal that might break. But if I have pyrex, which is meant to go into heat, I don't have to be afraid it's going to break, then you could kosher it. Even for Pesach, even B'das the Ramah. I think Rabbi Neuberger used to quote this also. Anyway, that's not the minig. The minig is, even though we might allow one to kosher pyrex, the whole rest of the year, Machos Asuras on Pesach, the minig is to be machmer, like the Ramah's machmer by glass, but machmer on pyrex as well. One other halacha that a few other halachas. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Chaf Aleph discusses Milui Ve'iroi Gimel Yamim. Milui Ve'iroi Gimel Yamim is based on a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is discussing something that was Nivla B'Kavush. Only something that was Nivla B'Kavush. Kavush means it was sitting there for 3 days, 24 hours. It was sitting there for 24 hours. So if it was sitting there for 24 hours, so kavish kumavusho, it had to bleed into the kli. So the Yerushalmi says that I could do milui v'iru gimel yavam. I could leave it sitting in other water, and that will pull out the blia, just like kavish put it in. Kavish will take it out. That's all that says in Shulchan Aruch and Sifchaf Aleph. Stuff that's used with coal, butter, with kavish kumavusho, I could use milui v'iru gimel yavam. The Ramah, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Berurah, I think it's the Mishnah Berurah, throws this in, he blurs the line. The Mishnah Berurah, it gets confusing. The Mishnah Berurah is discussing the Ramah, that we're machmir on the cups, because the cups, the Shulchan Aruch was mekel, because he goes basar rov tashmish. The Ramah was machmir from iyah tashmish. So Ramah says you need to go, if it was once used with chamin, with rov tashmish, with betzonin, a cup, once in a while it's used with chamin, you need hagala. So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but if you can't do hagala, where's the Mishnah Berurah? Sifkat and Kuf Nun. The Ramah says, "Matzrich and Hagala." Says the Mishnah Berurah, but who adin are they? Miui v'iroi. Can even use miui v'iroi gimel yamin, even though it was bechamin. So the Shaar HaTzion points out, "Whoa, what's going on here? That's bechamin." Va'af shesham b'sifchaf avol ma'ir b'kli mishum kvisha. We're meikol because there's rov tashmis tzad. It's a klisheni. Ain't a binyomo. So he starts being mitzarif kulos. But this is really miui v'iroi gimel yamin outside of the context of where one would have thought it should exist. So the Mishnah Berurah puts it there by rov tashmish, and the Mishnah Berurah by cups, by glass cups, also says that once in a while you have to be concerned it was used b'chamin, but so you could rely on miui v'iroi gimel yamin even by glass, because our ma'ar is a chumra by glass. So it's glass, Shulchan Aruch is meiko, rov tashmish. So miui v'iroi, why not? But truth be told, that's outside of the context of where one would have thought it should apply. The Mishnah Berurah does add there that if one could buy new glasses for Pesach, one should buy new glasses. There are two things he recommends to buy new: knives and cups. Good question. What two things? So the other one is cups. He says if you can't buy new ones, then you could be master the old ones. Rabbi Neuberger dealt at length with the ovens. Some poskim hold that ovens have zeya, and therefore the one remembers the whole binyan that he made, that there would be zeya, and then there is steam in an oven, then you'd have a problem, you have to kasher the oven. And some poskim hold, with Shefter, that there is no zeya in an oven, you would not have to kasher the oven if there's no ban in the oven. Even though that is the way Rabbi Shefter holds Meikar Adin, and there are some poskim that hold like that Meikar Adin, by Pesach, or if one moves into a new apartment, they all recommend to kasher your Pesach, I think, even the Yikuva, kasher the oven. One could have made an argument after kasher the oven. What are you kashering it for? There's no zeah. But all the poskim, even though they say that between basar and chalav, but if one moves into a new apartment, for example, Mishachta would recommend to kasher the oven. Even though it really shouldn't have been a problem. Some poskim, yeah? If there's no zeah, there's no zeah. So we said if a person has a self-cleaning oven, so many poskim hold it would require, this is our machlokas that we had before, did we say kapolo kach polto by libun? So Moshe held, you don't say kapolo kach polto by libun. Once it needs libun, libun chamor. So you need 700 degrees. How do you get 700 degrees? So if you have self-cleaning, all is good. If you don't have self-cleaning, so then Moshe had to have his insert, which I think Rabbi Bulek, Ara Yomazeh, uses an insert on Pesach for this chamor. However, the Rav was quoted as saying, they say Kabal Kach, and this is Dain Weiss too, they say Kabal Kach Polto by Libun. So for Pesach also, you could get away with, if you use it to 400, you use 400, and you leave it like that for an hour or two, and your oven is kasher. Assuming it's clean. Even though we said you don't have to clean, these are practical. Even though we said you don't have to clean the oven, that's only if you have Libun Chomer. The Libun Kach, Rabbi Neuberger thought you should clean the oven first. End parentheses. I think that's the general assumption. Another confusing case I wanted to address was the chatzuva, was the grate on top of the oven. So the Ramah says here in Hilchos Pesach that it requires libun. The Mishnah Berurah is not happy with this psak, because why should it require libun? What are you afraid of? Stuff fell on the chatzuva, stuff fell on the grate, it got burned. And even if it didn't get burned, ain't bliya yotze mikadero kadero baro rotev. Huh? The grate on top of the stove. You put a pot on something? That. That's the chatzuva. So we're afraid that maybe a macaroni fell there. Yeah, the macaroni fell there, got burned up. There's fire burning. And even if the macaroni didn't get burned up, so it got nivon to the chatzuva, so what? It's not going to go to my pot if there's no liquid there. So Rama says these are really, the Mishnah Berurah says these are really two, this is a far-fetched chashash. So Mishnah Berurah and Ramosh and the Holy Yisurin say therefore since it's a far-fetched chashash, it's enough with Liban Kal. And it's only on Pesach. We only do this on Pesach. Milchus and Fleishik, no, you wouldn't switch back and forth. It's a Chumrah of Pesach. Rabbi Avadya says the Chumrah of Pesach only requires Hagalah. What are you so concerned? Something spilled on the Chatzuva? Good, do Hagalah. I guess he wasn't concerned with the macaroni that got roasted on the macaroni is not going to balance on Chatzuva. However, the Chachma Sadam, which I think is quoted by Mishnah Berurah as well, thinks that this is Meikar Adin. Shechter also thinks it's Meikar Adin. This is a machlokas. Mishnah Berurah thinks it's a chumrah. Chachma Sadam thinks it's meikar adin. Some posts can go on either way. In which case, the chatzuba would require libun chomer. Wouldn't be enough of libun kal. Problem is, then, whoa, what about basa t'chalav also? So, okay. So I think Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Rav that, yeah, one should really have a chatzuba to chatzuba, so basa t'chalav. But I don't think, I don't think that's so common. Huh? He says it got burned up right away. Shed the thought, yeah, I think he said in the name of the Rav that, yeah, l'chachila, one should really have two chatzuvas, one for pasta, one for chalav. No.
So what's the why would we be mafia?
Because we're afraid that the pot will be wet on the outside and that there was a blia, there was nivla, al-day ha'ur, into this chatzuva. If it would be cham and you get away with hagala, you would have to be choshes. So it was like they got roasted on the chatzuva and then it's going into my pot. If one is machmer on the chatzuva, you should be machmer on oven racks too. Oven racks is the same as the grate that's on top of the oven, on top of the stove. So the same machlokas you have over there, does it require liban chom or is enough of liban kal would exist, the machlokas between the mishabur and the chachmas adam would exist by the racks as well. It'll ruin the racks on top of the oven. It'll ruin the grate. But yeah. The racks in the oven, you can leave in the oven if you have self-cleaning, or you do leave them in kabal kachboto. But the stuff on top of the stovetop, I don't know if everybody knew, but I mentioned that the best eitzah is you put a blech on top, and you turn the burner on for an hour or two, and it gets very hot under the blech, and that's a leave in kal.
An hour or two?
Leave in kal, where machmer, you need an hour or two.
That's
Well, the Rav would say however long you normally use it for, but I think we generally assume an hour or two.
That's in cash for grease.
But it gets very, very hot. You just created an oven on top of this stovetop. But if you turn all four on or all three on at the same time, it'll burn out the starter. You have to turn one on, an hour or two, the next one on, an hour or two, the next one. It'll break the oven. You can do it.
It'll break the oven.
Yeah. There's starters, you know, that goes, which lights the fire. Okay. One last thing that I wanted to discuss was sinks and countertops. Ramosha has a famous tshuva about sinks using the same sink for milchiks and fleishiks. And he says, really, we pass on like the Ramah in Yerdei and some Tzadik Beis that Eroi, even though Eroi is Mevashel and Eroi maybe is, and Eroi is also Mavliya, that's the way we paskin, it's not Mavliya u'Mevashel. So Bliya, Eroi could put a Bliya in, but it can't put a Bliya in. I'm sorry, it's Mavliya, but it's not Mavliya u'Mafliya. It can put a Bliya in, but it can't put a Bliya in and take a Bliya out at the same time. So Moshe says, so if a person uses the same sink, Meikar Adin, it should be okay, because the Bliya went in, the Bliyas keep going in, but the same Eroi can't take a Bliya, put a Bliya in, and then pulls a Bliya out. In which case, for Pesach too, the sink shouldn't be such an issue. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah, and the Ramosha thinks we don't really pass on like the Shach, but we're choshish for the Shach v'chadchiyo. So Ramosha says, we're choshish for the Shach, you have to wait 24 hours. This is Ramosha Shita, by his sinks, between milchus and fleishik, you wait 24 hours. By milchus asuros, you could wait till the person moves into a new apartment. You wait 24 hours. The sink should be okay. However, by Pesach, everyone is machmer that you have to kasher the sink with iroi. Nivlo be iroi, you can kasher it with iroi. Klivishon. Why is Pesach different? Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Chaf, sinks are not discussed explicitly, but countertops are. There's the Shulchanos, tables. Shulchan Aruch says that Shulchanos, you have to be mashu them with Iroi. Kli Rishon. And then the Mishnah Berurah throws on, but you have to be afraid of Kohen Kuf Yud Aleph. You have to be afraid maybe there's a Davar Gush. Not only does something spill on the countertop, maybe a hot piece of a hot potato from the Cholent, which was chamer, barley, fell on the countertop. Oh, now I have davar gush, conditional that also machmer is a klivishon. So now I need a klivishon on my countertop. How am I going to put my countertop in a klivishon? So it says in Shulchan Aruch and other places, in here in Tufnun Aleph, that if I need klivishon, I could do iroy with an evin meluban. I move my hot brick throughout the Eroi water on top of the countertop, and that makes the Eroi water much hotter, like a Kli Rishon, because I move the fire around and then the Eroi water becomes a Kli Rishon. If I pour hot water on this table and move the, as I'm pouring, I pour over the hot brick, or I move the brick around into the hot water. So now I have like a fire, a hot brick is a fire, and the water is on the hot brick. While it's on the countertop, I transported my klivishon to here. So the Mishnah Berurah is machmir that countertops require iuri b'klivishon with the evin meluban, because maybe a davar gush fell there. So on Pesach, this is a chumrah to Pesach. Generally, we're not necessarily chumrah for this. Oh, so this same chumrah should apply to sinks. Maybe a davar gush fell in my sink with the iroi kli rishon. Maybe a hot davar gush fell in my sink, just like it fell on my countertop. So you would require iroi kli rishon with an evin meluban in a sink. The same thing I meant before, where you move the hot brick around in the sink. All right, so it's not so shy. So therefore, some poskim are machmir, Shachar is machmir to use a tub in his sink, and it covers the countertops.
I've heard you say clothes iron,
high.
I haven't tried it.
It won't start a fire?
No, because it's a steam iron. It's like
a
steam coil
iron. All right. However, most poskim, I think I've spoken to Rebbe Neuberger about this in the past, and we'll also that we're not koshish for this. Even on Pesach, we don't go this far. The countertops and the sink is enough with the hot water, with the iroi kli rishon. Maybe it's a davar gush, maybe yes, maybe no. Davar gush is a whole chumrah in and of itself. Even the countertop, whatever. Right. Also, you have Rav Tashmish. Rav Tashmish is also an important kulas. You have Rav Tashmish. Rav Tashmish is not with the davar gush. Davar gush is itself a chumrah. So all these chumras don't pile onto each other. We don't. I think Rav Yitzchak Yochanan says we don't pile on the chumrah of Rav Tashmish with davar gush. Hot water on the countertops and on the sink. There are those who are machmer. You want to be machmer, so you can kasher with an evin meluban. I think now they sell an eichler, a brick that plugs into the wall and attached to two handles, and it has the brick gets hot. So you do it like that if you are so inclined. However, the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkot and Kuf Tesvav says nonetheless the minhag is to cover it. I don't know why you're kashering it if you're covering it. If you're covering it, I don't see why you have to kasher it, unless you're afraid your cover is going to fall off, and then it's not a very good cover. So if you're covering it, I don't know why you would have to kasher it, but the Mishnah Berurah says, these tables, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you have to kasher with Iroi Kli Rishon and the Sodavar Gush, and he says you need to have a meluban, the minhag is still to cover it. Because maybe stuff will get stuck inside of the table. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have Abu Shulchan Aruch Pshutim, if it's very smooth, ain't lahachmer. You don't have to be machmer to cover it. So I thought that's why, we don't cover sinks, because they're very smooth. So too, if one has, I think this would be the heter of the granite. If one has a granite countertop, so granite, you would also need a Iroi Kli Rishon, but I don't think there would be a chumrah to cover granite. Or if one is mako, to be machshir plastic on Pesach, you could also pour hot water on a formica countertop, and you wouldn't have to cover it, assuming the formica is flat, because it's a shulchanos pshutim.
But if there's like cracks in certain areas?
Oh, so if you have pieces of formica where there's you know, cracks, or sometimes formica is level to look fancier, you know, there are cracks, and then you would have to cover it. Right? You have to cover the countertop.
The whole
thing, not just the cracks. Oh, I don't know. You're saying you covered the problematic area. Okay, yeah. So maybe. Okay. But that, again, formica is plastic. So again, into the whole shayla of can one cut the plastic on Pesach? Most posts can hold no, and some posts can hold.
Stone is porous.
Stone is porous. Huh?
Oh, so maybe
you cover it? No, so if it's flat. Oh no, if it has cracks and crevices like a earthenware countertop, so you'd have to cover it. But if it's granite, I think it's pretty smooth.
No, but not all stone is granite, but if it's
sandstone. Sandstone is not smooth. So it'd be like a wood countertop. Have to cover it. The minik would be to cover it. If you didn't cover it, I don't know what's so bad. It's a klucheni, I don't know what we're kosher. Rabbeinu ben Yomo, Zrov Tashmish. So the whole year, I don't know if we're necessarily mako. Well, you know, people have different opinions about that. But on Pesach, the minik is to be machmer. Okay. I wish you